Two Guys Named Joe, 94.
Two Guys Named Joe, the DeSarno and Meehan Report. Political consultants Joe DeSarno and Joe Meehan discuss news, strategy and tactics on Michigan's premier political podcast. And now we take you to the Two Guys studios with Joe and Joe.
It's Two Guys Named Joe, the DeSarno and Meehan Report. I am Joe Meehan.
I'm Joe DeSarno.
What a week this has been, especially for Mr. Trump and all the down-ballot Republicans that are tied to his fate.
Yes, everyone had their chance to disavow him long before he talked about, I don't know, can we say it?
Well, we don't typically do this because, you know, we're clean guys.
We're gentlemen.
We're beyond this locker room conversation being middle-aged men. However, we are going to go and get rid of our clean rating for iTunes for this episode only. And if you notice, there's a big E on this one because we're going explicit. Because if this was a guy running for state representative, Todd Corser, I don't know that we necessarily would use this. Oh, who am I kidding? Of course we would.
Yeah, we're going to work blue today.
You know, be forewarned, if this kind of anatomically correct references offend you or designs upon married women offend you, well, then I say skip ahead a little bit.
Or just, you know, turn us off and turn off cable news.
That's right. That's right. Head right over to the Disney Channel or whatever keeps it clean all the time. In fact, if you go to the Disney Channel, maybe you can pick up Song of the South and things will be, you know.
I have a copy.
Is that our prize this week?
I will make a copy for anyone who's interested.
So, in case you've been living under a rock and you're wondering what happened here, about what, 10 years ago?
2005, yeah.
11 years ago. Mr. Trump was going to do, what was this, Access Hollywood? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was an appearance on Access Hollywood promoting his guest appearance on a CBS soap opera, which is escaping my mind at the moment.
Because we don't watch any of this stuff.
You know, I used to watch The Bold and the Beautiful, actually, because my ex-wife used to tape it every day and watch it after work. So I was quite familiar with that, with those storylines. And sometimes when I would go to the gym, it would be on the TV. So I was aware of, I think it was The Bold and the Beautiful, if I remember correctly. No, it was the Young and the Restless.
Well, anyways, he was in the bus with one of the hosts of the shows.
A first cousin of George Bush, by the way.
Yes, a Bush. And they were having sort of a raucous discussion about women. And the microphones were live and recording. Pro tip to all elected officials. Assume that every time you're wearing a microphone, that it's hot.
Well, go back to last episode. Assume that every iPhone's a microphone.
That's right. Nowadays with technology, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever intend on running for office, we suggest that you adopt a monastic life, a vow of silence. It really will suit you down the road, as we're about to hear. These two frat boys are having a discussion. And first off, I don't believe that anybody in the United States is actually surprised about this discussion. If you are, you're a moron, because Donald Trump has really made a candidacy out of being vulgar and crude and direct, because that's what people want to hear.
He says what people are thinking, but are afraid to say it.
You know, right? Let's just quit beating the bush, as it were, about this and actually listen to what he had to say. This is the first clip. Let's give a listen. This is for all of you in the Christian right who have trouble with breaking of the commandments.
You know, and she's still very beautiful. I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
There you have it.
Yes. And then, you know, if you can get past that, because, you know, of course, we're weak and are being tempted constantly by talking snakes. Here is further in the conversation, as they were just talking about television personality they were about to meet, right? Or no, they were just talking about the power of fame vis-a-vis that women's attraction to powerful men. Let's listen to that.
I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Now, if nothing else, when this is all over with, I would say that Donald Trump has quite a future in being a spokesman for Tic Tac.
Among other products, but you know, the thing here is the language in itself. I will say that most men have had these kind of crass conversations where this veers into, I think, really the dangerous territory for a political candidate is the belief and the stated belief that fame somehow gives you agency to touch women in areas where that require consensual.
As we well know from Hillary Clinton's husband while he was president of the United States, this is not a Republican problem per se. It goes across the aisle. Yes, it is a human problem.
It's a human problem, but this is just such stark, and it's his own voice. It's not secondhand. It's not third hand. It's not in a deposition. It's not a tale told out of school. This is him speaking into a mic. I'm talking about the privilege of being a
rich and famous guy,
a rich and famous guy who can foist himself on females at will because he's a rich and famous guy.
Not quite at will. There is a little foreplay that involves Tic Tacs.
That's right. Well, you know, maybe
it's courteous. It's more.
He should get a couple points for that.
Yes, it's more courtesy than I would have given him credit for. If you're really that rich and famous, what do you care how bad your breath is? Come here, baby. I'm this bad breath is this onion breath. It's on you.
Well,
it's part of the experience.
You're with Donald Trump. You should be thrilled to feel his stink breath.
The mere fact that I've reached into my pocket and pulled out the Tic Tacs may lead you to believe that I love you. And we laugh. And I'm sure that Joe is laughing more than I am because my hostility towards this really knows no bounds. Here's where I'll bring out a little bit of my conspiratorial thinking. I've been hearing Republicans say for weeks now, we're waiting to see what Julian Assange is going to bring out on Hillary, all the emails. Well, let's not believe that this was just something that people were going through the archives and happened upon. They've known about this for months. This was being held and released in conjunction with a new dump of emails.
And completely overwhelmed the email dump from WikiLeaks. So I agree with your conspiratorial point of view here. I think this was well-timed.
It's been in the can waiting for that. And in the news cycle, this has completely and totally dominated it. And I have been seeing a lot of Republicans going, but wait, look at this. What about these? How come you're not mentioning this with Hillary? She's horrible. And I agree, she's horrible. The reality is we're into one of these philosophical discussions where if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, did it make a sound? And in this case, no. No sound, because all people are hearing about is Tic Tac foreplay with Donald J. Trump.
That should be his podcast when he's done with the campaign.
Tic Tac foreplay? I think I'm going to register that domain name right now.
I just renewed tax cuts for perverts. So...
And I
wait, use that one.
I also have the domain name fakewarheroes.com, which I think I use for Dave Ajima. And I got news for Republicans. There's more coming.
Oh, yeah. There's 10 seasons of The Apprentice with hot mics. I think there's far more coming out of this filthy closet than people are expecting. I think, you know, people like us are waiting here with bated breath, which if it's baited, we probably Mad Fish and probably should get some of Donald's Tic Tacs.
I don't believe that the Democrats have been getting a ton of traction on this whole I didn't pay taxes thing, you know, because he had this billion-dollar loss. I would have thought that it would have gotten more traction, but it hasn't gotten as much as they'd like. This, on the other hand, has been getting almost immediate traction. And why? Because everybody tries to take deductions on their taxes. And if they figure that they have the big deduction that like gives them the ability not to pay taxes, well, God bless them. However, most women, which women comprise more than half the population in the United States.
And a majority of the voters.
Correct. They have had to put up with boorish slobs like...
Us?
Not so much us.
No, I think we're well-behaved around women. I was just trying to be amusing.
But particularly a boorish boss like Donald Trump. They've had to put up with it. I can't speak to firsthand knowledge about that, never having been that kind of boss and never being on the receiving end of it. By the way, most guys, this is how the Penthouse Forum letters start. They're not really disturbed by it.
I never thought this would happen to me.
Yes, I never thought that I'd be writing to you, but...
I always thought these letters were fake until this happened to me.
I attend a small Midwestern college. How Samuel Clemens had the pen name Mark Twain? Mm-hmm. It's remarkable that the pen name at the Penthouse Forum is all name and address withheld. No, name and address withheld. Yeah, but it's not the same.
When you're running for president.
Or it's not the same for women. And I think that they find this kind of frat boy nonsense to be far more relatable than, and let's face it, most people are not going to be able to relate to the fact that they blew $1 billion in Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, and that was able to amortize a multi-year non-payment of taxes. It's something that, you know, we may be able to intellectualize that, but you and I aren't going to get our arms around that either because the numbers are so staggering and outside of our day-to-day existence.
This, on the other hand, is eminently understandable by everyone. It's an emotional hit for women, and where it's really going to cause a problem is it's going to broaden an already huge gender gap that this guy has, and it's also going to make college-educated white voters who are a key block that he's been trying to normalize himself with, they are going to flee this campaign. And I actually predict that he's going to see a double-digit loss among evangelical voters. Now, the evangelical leadership, on the other hand, is going to stick with this guy to the bitter end because there are charlatans and frauds. But,
Where do they have to go? They've made their bed.
Yeah, they have nowhere to go at this point. They should keep their nose out of politics, but that's a whole nother question. But the people who follow these evangelical leaders, the Pat Robertsons of the world, the John Hagees of the world, who are right in bed with Mr. Trump, a lot of those folks, as misguided as they are, genuinely believe in a redemptive God and you know, their religion they take quite seriously, and I think there will be a 10-15% drop among his support
the reality is, Joe, if this was an isolated incident, I think most people would blow by it. The reason that this is blowing up as much as it is because it just feeds right into the absolutely consistent narrative that this guy has generated down through his life.
It's completely crystallizing.
That's right.
All it does is reconfirm what everyone knows in his own words. And it's just so visceral that the response is, it kind of wraps everything up in a neat little bow for everyone. And so now, you know, dealing with the situation where he's going to head into the second debate as we tape this, where, you know, I hope Hillary Clinton's going to have to shake his hand and probably use hand sanitizer immediately afterwards. We'll see how he behaves. His response was disgusting. You know, he says, if it offended you, I apologize. He doesn't apologize for the comments. He apologizes if you're offended. It's the non-apology apology. He doesn't know how to respond to this because he doesn't have any empathy for other people. He thinks he's correct still. He thinks he's correct in his behavior still.
He has contrition that is only dependent upon whether or not he was caught.
Correct. Right. He's a sociopath. you know, people have figured this out, and now we're looking at a situation where 10 days ago this race was in the margin of error. After the first debate, we see Hillary open up a mid-single-digit lead almost across the board, and in every battleground state, I think with the exception of Ohio, where I think she's dead even at this point, according to most polling, we saw Michigan, you know, dead even. Bernie Porn a couple weeks ago released a poll. Released another one this week. She had, what, a 6 to 8 point lead here in the state?
The reality is, and I'm, as a Republican, I'm going to say, I think she too is a sociopath. I think there's lots of evidence of that. And that now goes into my next rant. All of the Trump Luddites out there who made sure that this guy was the party nominee. You know, typically the point of elections, and you can jump in whenever you think I'm wrong here. I realize we're on other sides of the aisle, but this is sort of one of those general concepts that people usually, that cuts across the aisle. The point of an election is to, I don't know, win. Is that what the point of the election is for Democrats? To win?
Oh, gosh. I want to say yes, but Democrats tend to charge into the machine gun fire for the glory of being correct rather than winning.
Well, there's that going on here right now is what I'm afraid of, because ideally, the process of a primary is to pick the most capable candidate most likely to win in the fall. A plurality of Republican voters, due to a multitude of factors that we're not going to go into right now, decided to put in the least electable guy as the nominee against everybody. Everybody knew that Hillary was going to be the eventual nominee. If we had picked a more traditional candidate, this would be a very different election. It would be one where it'd be very likely she would lose. But no, instead, the Republican Party picked a candidate that is looking more and more like he is going to get clobbered. Hillary will have to do something spectacularly stupid or just drop dead at this point in order to be, you know, nominally put in the position of having, of being, maybe losing. Just maybe losing. It doesn't really matter to me. I detest Donald Trump, and I'm proud that I have taken on this unflinching opposition to this despotic madman. However, I do have loyalty to people who are down ballot and the people who will still be there after this election, because believe me, on November 9th, this guy's just, you know, he gets on a big plane that has his name on the side of it, flies back to New York, and you're not going to hear of him again in politics. That will be it.
Yeah, and I'm waiting to see how this all plays out after the election, to the damage it is to the Trump brand and the Trump organization as a whole.
Well, I'm more concerned about the brand of the Republican Party at this point, and the fact that the day after cleanup is going to, the recovery for this is going to take years.
Well, there may not be a recovery, very honestly.
That's potentially true. And you're going to see down ballot Republicans get clobbered, because if this goes over 10, 11, 12%, both of us have seen what's happened when this has occurred in the past. And it's, you know, on both sides of the aisle, it's happened to Republicans. It's happened to Democrats. And on a state version, you know, state version, it's like when Figer
and Bonero. This is a national version of Figer and Bonero.
It would be great if the Republicans just decided to like run away from this guy, made sure that they were told everybody that, hey, I have nothing to do with him. You know, in fact, you just need me as a firewall against Hillary Clinton. I'm not entirely sure that, I mean, the longer they wait, the less likely that's going to work. And by the time that it shows that there's been this absolute shift, hard shift away from Trump, might be too late to come back and get those voters. Let's bring this a little closer to home. You know, we've been having a little fun with Steve Marino, candidate for state representative in Macomb County, who's had problems with keeping his mouth shut. You know, I've become aware that there's polling that indicates that this is not hurting him. He's still ahead over his Democratic opponent. You know, and I've heard other polling that in Macomb County, that Representative Jeff Farrington's wife, Diana, is doing actually pretty well against the son of the former mayor of Sterling Heights. It's a little bit of a closer race, but it's still, she's ahead. And one reason that you see these two candidates in particular being ahead in Macomb County is because Donald Trump is doing very, very well in Macomb County. Then we cross over into Oakland County, where Donald Trump, before any of this came out, before you understood just how dependent he is on Tic Tacs, he was getting clobbered by 20 points. God only knows what happens with particularly the women vote in Oakland County after this. But you have representatives like Clint Kesto.
Right now, it's all hands on deck for Mr. Kesto because he was in a bad situation before Tic Tac Gate.
Yeah, and now it really is all hands on deck. And I realize that the Republicans don't seem to be focusing on Martin Horlach out in Troy. I will contend that, you know, he may have a nothing opponent on the Democratic side there, but demographically, that district has changed towards the Democrats. The tsunami up ahead that's going to go against Donald Trump could, you know, sweep him out to sea.
Well, any smart Republican will do this. Disavow Trump, go into their local Republican Victory Center. I love how they call it that. And take every piece of Trump, Pence merchandise and literature and lawn signs and start a freaking bonfire right in front of the office. You've got to come out bold. You should have done this a long time ago because this is not anything but a foregone conclusion. This was going to happen regardless of Billy Bush and this videotape. This was the foregone conclusion of where this was headed a long time ago. There are smart Republicans like yourself who from day one have talked about how this guy was going to be an electoral disaster. You've got folks like Wendy Day, who was a partisan for Ted Cruz, who today is still anti-Trump as can be. You know, her erstwhile leader, Mr. Cruz, was 2 weeks away from playing this perfectly. And we talked about this last week as well.
Jeff Timmer is another.
Jeff Timmer, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And he did a stellar job with John Kasich in Michigan. It didn't quite work out for him, but morally,
he hasn't folded. He's still
no. Morally and politically, he is pure on this. Whereas there are literally hundreds of Republicans who could pay the price on November 8th for this, because if women voters, female voters, and college educated white folks decide, hey, you know what, I'm not just going to punish Donald Trump, I'm going to punish the entire Republican Party, then you've got some real problems. You've got problems like you just said. And also it can change the dynamics of races in places like Macomb County where, you know, to my knowledge, I can't really talk too freely about it because I'm actually actively working on both those races. But, you know, this situation can alter everything. It can change the reality of the world that we operate in the next 31 days if people take this out on Republicans. And smart ones should have jumped ship a long time ago. Politics right now is very tribal. I don't see this thing, you know, opening up a 10-point drop overall in the electorate for Trump.
No, this is the death of 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah,
this is one thing. There'll be more things that come out. And at some point, voters reach a tipping point.
You know, he'll get his 40 to 43% of the vote if a Caligula video pops up with him in it. Okay, he'll get that 40 to 43%, but that's all he's going to get at this point.
I think that's enough of this guy for this week. You know, we were on Michigan Public Radio this week.
We were legitimized. We were well-behaved. We didn't work blue, but yeah, we had a great time on Issues in Ale, hosted by Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark.
Yes, thank you. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was like 90 minutes that just blew by.
At the Beer Grotto in Lansing. You got to imagine that, like Donald Trump, when he's retiring and relaxing, he's going to have a grotto. Hef had a grotto.
Well, we were at the Beer Grotto and we had a good time. It was probably about 100, 150 people there to watch us. So it was fun. I've done several of these in the past. It's the first time that you participated, and I'm sure it won't be the last, and especially as they seem to be very, very happy with the response they received both live and in feedback from listeners.
You can listen to it if you'd like to. We'll put a link in the show notes for Michigan Public Radio, and they have the entire thing. You can listen to it. Of course, as being a radio thing, you miss some of the sight gags that I used, which I failed to explain. Everyone there got it, but out there in radio land, you may have missed the fact that I put on a bright red Make America Great Again cap Made where?
Made in China.
Yes, made in China. Yes.
Well, they'll have to recreate it in the theater of the mind, but it was a good time. I think the crowd enjoyed us and enjoyed the banter, and it was well worth the effort. And so special thanks to Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark for inviting us. And they're really very nice crew. Those are folks who are generally underappreciated. So thank you very much, guys.
Their pledge drive started. If you're so inclined, you should probably reach into your pocket and write a check or direct deposit.
Shekels.
Yes.
Yeah. You may get a tote bag if you're lucky.
Yeah, I was online and I said I'd go for those tote bags if they would, you know, tote ammunition on my way to the range. So
before we shift away from Donald Trump, I do have one question. What is Ron Weiser going to do? Because as far as I can tell, he's the only Michigan citizen to have a formal position with the Trump campaign. Right now, he's a national co-finance chair, and he's also running for the Board of Regents for the University of Michigan for the umpteenth time. So I really am curious what his official position is going to be, because he is in the crosshairs for decision time. You know, if he's smart, and generally real estate magnates like him and Mr. Trump are smart, but I do think Mr. Weiser is going to have to take a break from the national co-finance responsibilities and toss Mr. Trump overboard to save his own bacon.
I am going to predict that every down-ballot candidate for State Board of Education and the three college boards are going to be Democrats this year. I think that's a very safe prediction, by the way, and that was why Ron Weiser wanted to get rid of
Straight ticket voting.
Yeah, well, straight ticket voting is going to come back with a vengeance in this election. So until next time, I'm Joe Munim.
I'm Joe DeSano.
Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Two Guys Named Joe, the DeSano and Munim Report. You may contact the show by calling 248-631-4077 or by visiting our website, twoguysnamedjoe.com. Feel free to send your comments, either written or audio, by following the directions on the website. Subscribe to the show via iTunes or the podcast directory of your choice. Thanks for listening.